Paul George says his championship window is closing. Is this the best chance he's ever had to win a championship? Absolutely. But there are three things I think that could be standing in his way. And I'm going to be talking about them all on today's Locked On Clippers.
Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, sir, you are locking in with the Clips. Thank you for making Locked On Clippers the first listen of your day, your team every day. I'm your host, going into my 18th season as a diehard Clipper fan, Darian Vaziri. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram at DimeDropperPod. I have my own YouTube channel where I cover LA basketball, mainly Clipper games and Laker games after they happen. Of course, with an emphasis on Clipper games and filming vlogs when I go to Clipper games and NBA history as well. And of course, also LA sports. So check that out if you're into it. And if you're a Clipper fan, of course, subscribe. But for today's episode, I'm going to be talking about Paul George, who's obviously been one of the best players in the NBA for many, many years now. And he said that his championship window is closing. And he realizes that he's in his prime still. And the time to get the job done is now. But I think there are three things standing in his way. One of them, his mentality. Sometimes Paul George looks like one of the best players, top 5 to 10 in the entire world. And sometimes he just doesn't look like a top 5 to 10 player in the world. Because it's not a talent issue with Paul George ever. And sports, I can tell you from experience, even though I've never played at a D1 level or higher than that, but I think a lot of people that played sports at any level can tell you it's all mental. And Paul George has spoken about it, so I'm going to be talking about that. Another thing that Paul George, it may become an issue, Clipper fans are very aware of this, the lack of calls that Paul George gets at the rim that causes him to settle, and that can really hurt his game. And then third and finally, the most obvious one, injuries and health, which also play a role in that mental and that driving to the basket thing. So they kind of all are intertwined. Let's start out with the main one, the mental, the mentality, the mindset. When the Clippers got Paul George, he was coming off serious shoulder surgery. He didn't play the first 10 or so games his first season with the Clippers. And all season long, he didn't get the full minutes that he was used to. He only played 30 minutes a game and only played 48 games out of 72. And in that season, he averaged 21.5 points, but only shot 44% from the field, which honestly was around the same number that he had shot the previous two seasons, even the one that he was third in MVP voting in 2019. But he never seemed to get a rhythm. And that's a one thing with injuries. You never seem to get a rhythm when you're constantly in and out of the lineup. You want to get a flow and string of games in so you can get back to your best. And we never saw the best of Paul George that first season with the Clippers. And in the bubble, that was magnified tenfold. You had him against Dallas. He didn't look like himself at all. Losing the ball, getting stripped by guys like Seth Curry, who aren't even known for defense like that. It was just shocking. Absolutely shocking to see Paul George play like that. And it was just not the Paul George that we had seen in Indiana and even in Oklahoma City in recent years. Although you can make an argument that in the 2018 playoffs, especially that famous Game 6 in Utah, he was not playing up to his standard, even close to it. But you expected a lot better from Paul George. I expected a lot better from Paul George, and he was poor. If it wasn't for Kawhi Leonard playing out of his mind in that Dallas series in the bubble, Clippers wouldn't have even made it past the first round. And in the second round, he played a little bit better. The Clippers clearly made an emphasis to get him going in the first half of a lot of those Denver games. But ultimately, in the second half of games 5, 6, and 7, he was nowhere to be found. And of course, the famous meme and gif that unless Paul George wins a championship in his career, he will always be, you know, connected with, and that's the side of the backboard miss in the right corner in the bubble in Game 7. When you saw that, you just knew his head was not right. And you obviously knew his mind wasn't right when you saw him playing like that against Dallas, but it was even more exacerbated when you saw him brick off the side. It wasn't even a brick. You hit the side of the backboard. That's clank. So I was really disappointed in Paul George that first season. And, you know, you can't really use the health excuse in that bubble because he said himself going into the bubble that my shoulders are feeling really good. My hamstring's feeling good. And that was another thing. He struggled with a little hamstring problem in 2020. But going into the 2021 season, to me, is when it all changed. When people say about Paul George, oh, he's soft, he's weak mentally, I think that's going a little far. And I think that's, you know, that Paul George, yes, he was going through some stuff. He was not his best self mentally, and that translated to his performance. But he also spoke out about that in the bubble, you know, he felt alone. He started playing badly, and then you started seeing all the hate on social media. You're sitting in a hotel room without your family. Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? Going on social media, I remember Paul George disabled his Instagram comments at the time, and it was just flooded with hate. A lot of them from Laker fans, because that season it was just Lakers, Clippers, back and forth from day one. From the second the Clippers signed Kawhi Leonard and he snubbed the Lakers, it was war. Every single time the Clippers lost, you go to Twitter, it was slander. Every single time, no matter who they played. But Paul George, going into the 2021 season, I remember vividly, he did a podcast, All the Smoke, with Matt Barnes, former Clipper Matt Barnes, and former Clipper Steven Jackson. And he talked about how he didn't feel like Glenn Rivers used him in the right spots, that he felt like he was just coming off pin downs and being used like a J.J. Redick kind of deal, or a Landry Shamet kind of deal. And I remember thinking that that was a load of excuses. And one thing I did not like about Paul his first season with the Clippers was that he made a lot of excuses in my mind, or just didn't really take accountability. And he was really roasted for that in that summer, totally. And I think that's, he took that to heart. And the next season, 2021, he really took accountability whenever he could. And he's been just way more, in my opinion, accountable as a leader, and not sugarcoating things or dancing around when he's played poorly since that 2020 season. And one of the big reasons is because I think he has trust in the coaching staff and the Ty Lue. And that's where I was going with all the smoke thing. When he said that he was being utilized improperly, I thought he was making excuses, because at times in the 2020 season when he played, I thought that he felt that he, because he was out of the lineup so much, he had to kind of force himself to get back into the into rhythm. He kind of over dribbled, or as I like to call it, hot dogging with the ball, too much dribbling sometimes. And I just thought it would stagnate the offense. And I'm a big fan of ball movement in general. But when he made that comment in All the Smoke, I was like, I completely disagree with Paul. I think if anything, he should get the ball less, and we should lean more to having Kawhi just be the clear cut number one and just stop with the 1A, 1B experiment. Because even though Paul George can look just as good as Kawhi Leonard, if not better on a given night, I was just so, Kawhi is a level above, a clear level above, and I think that that gap has definitely shrunk a little bit because Paul George has returned back to his best in the last two seasons, but I still do believe Kawhi Leonard is the best player on the team, as I've alluded to many times. But at that time, I was really just, Kawhi Leonard is a superstar, Paul George, I don't trust him. And I remember somebody posted a statistic that Paul George actually got the ball more frequently, or his time of possession was greater in the 2020 season than his finishing third in MVP season in the previous season, 2019. So that confirmed to me that I thought he was making excuses, but boy, was I wrong. And I think Ty Lue has completely changed Paul George's confidence back to his old self that we know. And that was starting with putting the ball in his hands more, doing exactly the opposite of what I said and what I thought was needed. The Clippers had Patrick Beverley as their point guard, Reggie Jackson as their backup, two guys that are more catch, well, in Beverley's case, totally catch and shoot and 3-and-D kind of thing, and Reggie Jackson more of a scorer, score first. Paul George and Kawhi kind of became the de facto point forwards, and immediately you saw Paul George's confidence rise back to the top from the first game against the Lakers in that 2020-2021 season. And it's reflected by his assist averages since Ty Lue took over as Clipper coach. His highest assist seasons of his career, 5.2 in 2021, 5.7 in 2021-22. So he has improved his playmaking, getting better at finding open guys in the pick and roll, And he's just getting more opportunities to do that. And of course, he just had a really solid 2021 season. Had a couple injuries here and there. Missed 18 games. But in the playoffs, when Kawhi went down, that game 5 against the Jazz, he was just spectacular. And then game 6, obviously, and some big conference finals games as well against the Suns. But you can just tell that old Paul George we saw in Indiana was back. And you can even argue more skilled now overall. Better jump shooter, better handle, better in the post. And Paul George, again, it's not about his skill. He's got one of the most talented scoring arsenals I've ever seen. At 6'9", he gets so low on his dribble. He has a high release point. He can handle the ball with the best of them, can shoot with the best of them. Free throws are great. His three-point shooting is fantastic. He's been, 38% or higher from three so many seasons in his career. I mean, looking at it right now, 2012, 38.5%. 2015, I only played 6 games that season. That was coming off the leg break, so forget that one. 2016, 37%. 2017, 39%. 2018, 40%. 2019, 39%. 2020, 41%. 2021, 41%. Last season, he had a little bit of a regression at 35%, which was kind of weird in the beginning of the season. But I think he can return, given that he's going to get more open looks with guys like John Wall, Norman Powell, and obviously having Kawhi back. I think he's going to get more open looks. I think last season, the Clippers struggled to get good shots a lot, and their offense could be really ugly at times, especially in the beginning of the season when Eric Bledsoe was playing the 2 guard, and he's not exactly the best floor spacer, even though I really have a lot of love for Eric. But Paul George, in my opinion, is right back, mindset-wise, to his best. The only thing that scares me is at the highest level of competition, that's where the GOATs get separated from, or the greats get separated from the GOATs. Or should I? Yeah, other way around. GOATs get separated from the greats, and the greats get separated from the good. And Paul George, at the final 4 teams or so, maybe second round or higher, that's where he kind of scares me, where I hope he doesn't get in his own head. If he struggles a little bit, I just don't want him to get down on himself and discouraged, and just he has to perform in big moments. I've trusted him more and more with late game situations and closing out games as his Clipper tenure has gone on. I think in terms of who should close between Kawhi and Paul George, yes, I do prefer Kawhi more often than not going down the stretch of big games. But if Paul George has it going, by all means, Paul George time. He can close. We've seen it before at all stops of his career he's played at. He's made game winners with OKC, made game winners with Indiana, and he's made a couple game winners with the Clippers. So, and closed some games very well with the Clippers. So you can absolutely trust him, in my opinion, to close out games. The one big thing about that conference finals against Phoenix that stuck out was in games 2 and 4, he missed too many free throws. And that's just unacceptable for a player like Paul George, who's a very solid free throw shooter. I mean, 86% last season, 87% in 2021, 87% in 2020. So he's top notch. He got to make free throws. So, and to me, that those are all mental. Just got to focus. Just got to lock in and knock them down. But something else that can affect Paul George's mentality sometimes and aggression is the way he is treated by NBA officials. And that is something that we saw him take big issue with in the 2021 season and something that really frustrates Clipper fans. Gonna talk about that and what it does for his game coming up. Luka Doncic is the favorite to win the regular season MVP this upcoming season with the odds at plus 450. Joel Embiid right behind him at plus 600. You think Luka Doncic is going to win MVP? What about Kawhi Leonard? He's barely sniffing that top 10. If you want to place your bets, though, for any candidate, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Nikola Jokic, could he pull a Larry Bird, Wilt Chamberlain, Bill Russell, 3 in a row? To do all that, you got to go to BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all your NBA wagering information, and not just NBA, NFL, MLB. The playoffs are coming up. The Dodgers just clinched their best record in franchise history. Go place your bets on them to win the World Series. And of course, the biggest sporting event in the world is coming up very shortly, the World Cup in Qatar. Remember, BetOnline remains your continued source for all your sports wagering info with live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there. Just head to betonline.net or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. Okay, Paul George, one thing I noticed from getting him on the team is what we already knew was that he was an incredible three-level scorer. He can shoot in the mid-range, he can shoot long twos, he can hit threes, he can finish at the rim, he can dunk on guys, he's got those long arms, he's got a solid first step to get to the basket. But one thing I noticed about him is because he shoots such a solid percentage, or solid is an understatement, a great percentage from three, he's often encouraged, especially in this analytics era, to shoot more and more threes. And I remember the first season I was in disagreement with a lot of the Clipper media members about that, because I felt as though when Paul George started out the game shooting a lot of threes, you know the old saying, live by the jumper, die by the jumper. And I know in today's three-point heavy league, a lot of people don't like that, but I still believe in that very strongly. I think it's very easy, even for an incredible shooter like Paul George, to shoot himself out of the game, and then you start thinking, then you start missing, getting in your own head, and then the aggression just starts lacking and he starts settling. And one thing I don't like is when 6'9 Paul George with a great vertical is settling. And one thing that I think really brought the best out of him in the 2021 season in the playoffs was that he was starting games in the playoffs by getting to the rim or getting in the mid-range. And once you start seeing those shots go in, once you start getting to the foul line and you see that ball go through the hoop, then everything opens up. I say the same thing about Anthony Davis when I do Laker vlogs. And in his case, it's more just jumpers in general because he has a little bit more of different size. He's a power forward. In Paul's case, mid-range and really just getting to the rim. I'm not a fan of him starting out games shooting a bunch of threes, because I think that's the way he gets cold, and then he starts getting in his own head. And I think one of the big reasons he does that is not just because he's such a great three-point shooter. It's because refs do not respect this guy. 2020-2021 season was just a nightmare. It was our first real full season seeing Paul George without constant injury problems like 2020, even though he only played four more games in 2021. Trust me, it just really, or six more games, I'm sorry. It really felt like his first real season with the Clippers. I mean, he didn't even make the All-Star team in 2020, and he did in 2021, and rightfully so. He increased his points per game from 21.5 points in 2020 to 23.3 his first season with Ty Lue, and then he went from 3.9 assists to 5.2 and 5.7 rebounds to 6.6. So he basically increased in every stat, 47% from the field as opposed to 44% the previous year. The only stat that was pretty much identical was three-point percentage at 41. So that's the Glenn Rivers effect versus the Ty Lue effect, and obviously more healthy. So one thing I realized very quickly was that in a lot of games, Paul George does not get respect from officials at the rim. It's insane. And I remember, I think it was against Milwaukee, but I'm not 100% sure. There was one game where Paul George really spoke out about it. And I was very happy he did, because at some point he needed to say something. It was just getting ridiculous. And I think one reason, though, it's not fully on the refs. One reason he doesn't get those calls sometimes is that I think sometimes he can go up kind of soft, looking for the foul and the whistle as opposed to the contact. Going up strong, getting into the body, getting into the chest of the big. When he does that, Paul George, he's unstoppable. He's a menace. And sometimes he can just dunk on guys straight up. He's got that ability, even at this age. But when he goes up soft, looking for the foul, looking for the whistle, then it can be tough. And then they don't give him calls, and they don't respect that. You know, the referees, they give you more respect when you go up strong, not looking just for the whistle, but looking for that contact. And Paul George, I think, has definitely gotten better, though, about that as his Clipper tenure has continued. And I also think last season the refs treated him a little bit better. But it does concern me. Absolutely does. More so the refs than Paul George. I honestly think Paul George has figured it out. Like, hey, I got to keep going to the rim. I can't settle so much. And that's what he did against Utah in games 5 and 6, especially game 5. He was amazing. And then he got going from deep. So I just hope the refs respect him. And yeah, basically, I hope the refs respect him, and I hope he continues to stay aggressive. Don't want to get too jumper happy. He had a great postseason in 2021, and as long as he keeps going up strong and keeps attacking the basket, especially to start games, I think you're going to see the best version of Paul George, no doubt about it. But the way to see the best version of Paul George is very simply for Paul George to be on the court. And he's had his injury problems since he came to the Clippers. I'm going to be going in depth about that to close out the show, coming right up. Okay. The biggest question, the biggest thing constantly repeated about this Clipper team, can they stay healthy? Can Paul George and Kawhi stay on the court? They're constantly out. They're never going to win the championship because they're not healthy. Well, let's take a quick brief look at Paul's injury history in his entire career, honestly. Let's do it. So his two healthiest seasons were obviously the two seasons with Indiana, where he went to the conference finals in back-to-back years, 2012-13 and 2013-14, his two first All-Star appearances. He played 79 games in 2013 and 80 games in 2014. After that, he had the leg break at Team USA, causing him to miss basically the entire 2015 season. Only played six games. But that's another crazy part of the Paul George story. For him to come back and play at this high a level and have five All-Star appearances, and let's not get it twisted, 2022, last season that just happened, he was definitely an All-Star caliber player and having an All-Star caliber season before he got hurt, without a doubt. So he's basically been an All-Star every single year since, which just is a testament to how great he is. And in 2016, he played 81 games, the season coming off that leg break. 81 games. And then in 2017, 75. And in 2018, 79. And in 2019, 77. So, you know, it's funny looking back at that is he actually had some really healthy seasons before he came to the Clippers. Oh, my goodness. Just totally, you know, backs up the whole Clipper curse thing. But fingers crossed, this is the one that all gets, you know, thrown away. First season, I already mentioned it. Hamstring problems, coming off shoulder surgery. That was 2020. He missed 24 games. That's a good amount, especially when he only plays 72. That's a third of the season, if my math's correct. I think it is. Wasn't the brightest bulb at math, but mental math is pretty good. And I know 24 times 3 is 72, so ha. But as far as 2021, as I said earlier, he missed 18 games. And I remember the first injury he had in 2021 was the bone edema injury, which we figured as fans he was going to be out for a while. But he came back earlier than expected. I think he only missed 8 games at the time. And then he had, little injuries throughout the season, which were kind of annoying. He got load managed at times because of that bone edema. So that's the thing, the load management. You know Paul's probably going to sit some back-to-backs, not all. If he can play 60 games or more, the Clippers are going to be so golden. 55 or more even, but again, 20-plus games missed is tough. It's tough. And then last season, the UCL tear in his elbow that caused him to miss 51 games. He came back at the end of the season and looked amazing, like he hadn't missed a game. He didn't skip a beat. But the depth of the Clippers will be great in terms of when Paul George is out or when Kawhi is out. Hopefully we don't, or the Clippers don't have to play too many games with both of them out, because there's been way too many of those since they arrived on the team. But just Paul George out on a given night, I think the Clippers have so much depth, especially in the wing positions, that they're going to be okay and beat the majority of teams that they play, especially because they're also used to it, playing without one of their stars or even both of their stars. But man, Paul George, if he can stay healthy, right, he looks so determined. He looks so good and fit when I saw him at the Forum last week. He looks great. And I just hope he doesn't sustain any injuries, especially any major injuries, because the Clippers need him to be healthy more than anything. If he can play 70 games for the first time since 2019, oh my goodness. No reason why the Clippers shouldn't get that 60-win mark that I targeted. So there you go. The mentality. Performing at the highest level of competition, playoffs. Because at the end of the day, guys, that's what separates the greats and the goats. That's when you see. And at this point, Paul George has been there so many times, you got to get the monkey off your back eventually, right? And I think this is that year. Especially because he's used to being the best scorer on his team all the time. In Indiana, he was the best scorer on his team. In Oklahoma City, he was a better scorer than Westbrook. Since he's come to the Clippers, he's only gotten one postseason finished while he was really the second guy or the 1B guy, and that was the bubble. And obviously, that just was an anomaly in terms of the year and what happened, and he was just not in the right mindset state. And plus, that season, just the Clippers, yeah, they were the 2 seed, but they never really caught a real rhythm with Paul George and Kawhi. It was so many guys coming in and out, and Glenn Rivers even said, like, deep into the season, they've only practiced together like 5 or 6 times, Paul George and Kawhi. So I don't believe in that at all. I think one thing Ty Lue's done, besides empowering them as ball handlers, is holding them accountable. And I've talked about that many a time on this podcast, holding them accountable. In situations like the Atlanta game in 2021, Clippers playing Atlanta at home. Paul George and Kawhi and the starters are just playing terribly. He takes out everybody, puts in the whole bench, Kennard, Luke Mann, Amir Coffey. Clippers come back, and then finally he puts Paul and Kawhi back in at the end of the game. But he showed them in that moment, if you guys play like trash, I don't care what your name is. I don't care what you've done in the league. I don't care that you're future Hall of Famers. I'm going to put in guys that are going to play hard. And I think Paul George and Kawhi have really taken that. I think they've grown as leaders on this team. And one thing I love about Paul George, and you should love about Paul George if you're a Clipper fan, he loves being a Clipper. Paul George, guys, PG-13, he was on the cover of 2K17. The guy that was going up against the Big Three Heat is on the Clippers. It's still surreal. It's still absolutely surreal in my opinion. He wants to be here. He chose to be here. He literally does not take Clipper gear off. I love it. I absolutely love it. His family's here watching him play. And I know that he wants to bring this championship to Clipperland as badly as anyone on the team. And for that, he has my full support and he should have yours as well. And if you want to support this channel, because you absolutely should throughout this journey, throughout this season, because it's going to be a journey, all right? And it's going to have its ups and downs, and I cannot wait. Preseason starts on Friday, Clippers and Maccabi Tel Aviv at Seattle, at the famous Key Arena that the Seattle Supersonics used to play at. Do I expect Kawhi Leonard to play? No. Do I expect Paul George to play? Maybe. Maybe. We'll see. Limited minutes if he does, but we shall see. Today's question, make sure to comment on the YouTube channel and subscribe because it's the fastest way to grow the show. Is this the year for Paul George? Simple as, is he going to play well enough in the playoffs to get the job done and win the championship? Is this Paul George's year that he gets the ring that has eluded him for so long? Not a very complicated question, guys, so give me your thoughts on it. I know that it's this, because this is a Clipper channel, I expect the answers to be an overwhelming yes. But you know what? Let's spread that positive energy, Clipper Nation. That's what we are known for, positive energy. And we wouldn't be here right now as fans if we didn't have positivity because, oh boy, we've been in worse spots than this. And you know what's actually funny? I was scrolling through YouTube just a couple hours ago, and I stumbled upon an old game. And by the way, if you're a fan of old basketball, go and download these games off of YouTube before they get taken off because the NBA is pillaging all these games and taking them off YouTube because they want to own the rights to it. So I have a really big issue with that. But I found a game from early 2007-2008 season, Clippers and Nuggets, and I was a fan during this time. And I remember the Clippers started 4-0 during that season, and then they just got hit with injuries left and right. Obviously, Sean Livingston had dislocated his knee the previous season, and Elton Brand tore his Achilles before the season even began. And nonetheless, the Clippers with Sam Cassell, Ketino Mobley, and Chris Kaman still started out 4-0 and then just collapsed. And I believe they finished 23-59 that year, but they were playing the Nuggets in this game, and it was the full broadcast, Ralph Lawler, Mike Smith, FSN Prime Ticket, good old days. And the starting lineup was Brevin Knight, Ruben the Kobe Stopper Patterson, rookie Al Thornton, Chris Kaman, and Tim Thomas. So when you look, and then we're playing against Marcus Camby, Kenyon Martin, Allen Iverson, and Carmelo. When you look at the disparity in talent there, and you look at the disparity in talent from what they had, what the Clippers had then, and what they have now 15 years later, it just makes you that much more appreciative of the road that the Clippers have gone on to get where they are. And as fans, if you witness teams like that and you're still here, you deserve this championship, in my opinion, even more than the players. Because, yeah, they go out there and earn it. Yeah, okay, that's a stretch. Just as much, let's put it that way. This is not easy being a fan. It's really not. Because we have no control over these games, yet we still care about it like we just missed the game-winning shot. And that's the beauty of sports, and that's why we all love this stuff, right? And if you want to hear me continue to talk about this stuff, you can follow me at Dime Dropper Pod on Twitter and Instagram. That's Dime, the coin dropper pod. It's in front of your screen right now if you're watching the YouTube version. And of course on YouTube, Dime Dropper. Not Dime Dropper Podcast anymore. It's just Dime Dropper. I will be going live after Clipper games basically every night before I record Locked On. So It'll be raw emotion, and it'll be great to hear a slightly different recap. But, of course, the vlogs as well, guys. If you want to see the whole 2021 playoff run, I was at every single game. I make it an effort to go to every playoff game because Clippers are my baby. I can't miss those games. I can't sit at home. Like, I'll pay any amount of money. Even if it means I have to sit in section 318, row 13 at the top, back to the wall. Because guess what? That's where I grew up watching games anyway. So, go Clippers. You already know how it is. Give me feedback. I'm always trying to hear that constructive criticism. And of course, if you want to hear about the latest episode, which was a big one, Clipper Media Day, go back and check the last episode on your favorite podcasting platform and YouTube. Locked On Clippers. You already know how it is. Have a great day, everybody. Preseason is close. Friday, KTLA. Nostalgic vibes, baby. Go Clippers. Go Clippers.